Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we live tonight your study, your words. We live tonight, Father, a nation that is hurting so bad. We lift to you tonight, Father, individual hurts and pains. Now, ask, Father, that through your word, you will direct us in how to help others. Give us the strength. Give us your wisdom for everyday activities. And, Father, we thank you in advance for always looking to our good. And we ask the blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. On June the 28th, I talked about, is Jesus the only God? Yes. Now, there are a lot of people say, well, everybody's getting, you know, working on getting to the same God, the same heaven. No, that's not true. Now, another focus that you need to realize, because I hear this more and more, that from Islam or the Muslim community, that they worship the same God. No, they do not. No, they do not. They do not worship the God Jehovah. They do not worship the God that Christians worship. So don't get caught up into that. Well, you know, there's many different ways, and these are, you know, at least they're all saying, I'll pray for you and I'll talk to my God. Now, there's the religions that are out there outside of Christianity do not worship the same God that we worship. So we got that, and don't get in an argument with anybody on it. Just I wanted you to understand that. How human was Jesus? We found out that Jesus, on the 28th in the class, we saw that Jesus was and is the only God. He is God incarnate. Now, tonight we're going to look at how human is Jesus. We saw he's 100% God, and now we're going to see the 100% human part. And why did Jesus come, who is God incarnate, we'll get to in a second, but why did he come in the flesh? And as we're studying through this, I want to remind you again, as I did this morning, remember that Jesus Christ is the only Savior, prophet, who ever said, I came from heaven. And the scripture says that he came from heaven to earth. As we'll study tonight, we'll see just the opposite of other basic religions. We learned Jesus 100% God. What was the incarnation process of Jesus? When we talk about God incarnate, what was that all about? Incarnation is from Latin, meaning becoming flesh. So, or becoming human, becoming flesh. And God became flesh because you and I, of his creation, are flesh. And God looks at us, and he knew from the beginning, before any of this ever happened, he knew that the only salvation of his creation would be he himself, that we would destroy ourselves individually and collectively. And so God says, I know that I'm coming down. Well, you cannot be in the direct presence and look at God, the divine, in heaven and live the human body. So Christ, God, became human so that he would feel everything humans feel. Now, think of it again. Even with us, a basic common sense would let us know, how can a God judge a creation when he is divine and he doesn't feel anything that his creation feels? So God came to feel the pain of the human existence, to feel the suffering, to feel the joy, to feel the love. How can a human being love? So he came to experience that. Number one, Jesus' humanity began from his deity. Now, this is important for us to learn. The pre-incarnate Christ had one nature, divine. Before he came as a babe in the manger, he was one nature, a divine nature, God. Now, John 1, 1 and 2. Now, as I'm going through this, I want to, because all of you have a pen, and I want you to pay attention to something that I didn't really pay that close attention to until I kept rereading and rereading. Do you know that, like, when you go into a place and you meet someone, or someone introduces you to someone, like Randy Kidder? Is that the Randy Kidder? The Randy Kidder? Remember when they talk about, well, let's go see Elvis. The Elvis? The one and only? You know, is that who we're going to go see? So you will see us distinguished people by, are you the Dolores Leeds that's always late? Are you the Dolores Leeds? So when we see that. So here's what I wanted to focus on after I started looking. That means the one and only. You're the one that, you know, everybody's talking about it. This is it. Okay. John 1, 1 and 2. In the beginning. Now, the beginning deals, if we're looking at this in Hebrew, we will find that the is not there. In beginning God. In beginning God is the way it reads. But in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He, now we're seeing referring to Word as a He. The Word is Jesus. Okay. He was with God in the beginning. Now, there is only one time period we're looking at. The period that we're looking at is that of the God, the Savior, the Holy Spirit, the one and the only. Now, John 1, verse 14, the Word became flesh. Remember what the Word, again, the Word is Jesus. The Word is God. They are inseparable. God says, I want you to understand how much I love you. So I'm going to come into your world and feel your pain and see your hurt, because I am the God, one and only. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. All right. There's only one person, one personality that has come down to our level, and that is Jesus Christ, God incarnate. God stooped down for us. In most religions, focuses on, they want you to worship them here and they'll get to heaven later and see you there, of those who profess to be God. Many, as you'll see here, believe that they're all going to become a God. But God comes from heaven to us. Now, that focuses on the love. That's his humanity. Now, Roman numeral 2. God chose human motherhood to introduce his son to the human race. Therefore, God incarnate. He chose the woman. There was only one, the Mary. A lot of Marys, remember? But there was also the Mary. The one that God has chosen. Remember that each one of us in our individual personality, we are the one that God has chosen And this vehicle of human skin and bone and whatever else we might have that is in there, you are the one for this generation. There'll never be another one like any of us. We are all specially and peculiarly made. How do I know that? Because I know the members of my church, and we are peculiar, all except for Randy. He's a little shaky there too, isn't he? Okay, but each individual is that special. Oh, we have to catch this, that you and I are so special, there'll never be another one like us, not because God said, I don't know. I don't want another Larry Vance, that's for sure, after seeing the first one. That's not the reason. He does it special because he is God, and each individual has a special touch from the Master's hand. And therefore, he doesn't need to recreate. When he created us, he created us right. We're the ones that messed it up. He created us in love. Now, you see, if we first experience love ourselves to love God, as soon as he would not do what we think he ought to do, we'd quit loving him. So God is love coming down to us as individuals for a special time in history. You're not born in the wrong generation. You are born in the right generation, no matter what you think. Oh, I wish I could go back now to the old days. Well, if you were in any of the old days, you ain't want to go back to them. That's for sure. But God says, no, you're particular for this specific time. Now, Isaiah 7:14. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin, there was not any inclination whatsoever that mankind was going to vote on who the mother of the Son of God would be. She was the virgin that God wanted, and the one the angel would go to. And can you imagine if there had been, wait a minute, Lord, I think you ought to pick me. Now, angel, I want you to go back and I want you to talk this over with God. God, I want you to know that I'm a lot better than that woman is, and I may just tell you some stuff on. That's exactly what would go on. So it is. She is the mother. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son. And we'll call him Emmanuel, God with us, meaning incarnate, God becomes flesh and blood. Think of this again, because I know I teach it all the time. But remember that at this particular time in his life when he was born, 100% man, 100% God, God said that the earth is turned over into his authority. He could do anything and was in charge on the earth, but he did not even mention heaven and earth. So Jesus comes down, and Jesus comes onto an earth that God himself, having to feel the pain of the human existence, having to understand failure, losing friends, and weeping when friends distrust him, and seeing what is going on with his ministries on earth. And you got to take this back to when he went in the temple and threw everybody out, right? Jesus, God incarnate, knew they were all wrong. Now, evidently, they must have realized they were wrong also, because did you notice they didn't fight back with him? He ran them out with his words. What were his words? His words were, My Father's house was set for prayer. You have made it a den of thieves. So he is telling them, and there again, they're all questioning, how do you know that? How does he know that? He did not even go to our seminary. Now, I want to know where this man came from. Luke 1, verses 30 through 35. But the angel, there was one, many, we believe that it was Gabriel, and it may even say that in another one of the Gospels. But he came, the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. Now, that's a good feeling, isn't it? You will be with child and give birth to a son. Now, we're not sure about her age. It could have been anywhere between 13 and 15. Now, you have to imagine her listening to an angel at that age, letting her know that she's found favor with God and she's going to have a child. All right? And you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great, or Yahshua, okay, he will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. Where is the throne of his father David? Earth, right? This earth. Is that not where the throne of David is set up? On this earth. The throne of David is not set up in heaven, folks. That's God's throne. So, he says, we'll give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign, speaking of Jesus here, will reign over the house of Jacob forever. See, Jesus is a fulfillment of the promise of God. And God is letting us know through his son that his relationship with us is forever. And Jesus is ruling forever, forever and forever, right? His kingdom will never end. Like that. Don't you love to be a part of a team, which we are as Christians, that we know that we, this time of greatness and joy that we will be having will never end. Sometimes even on earth, you know, when we have certain days and things are just really going nice, everybody's healthy, everybody is feeling halfway respectful with each other, and the anger is down and all of this, and say, boy, I wish this would never end. And then about that time, Dee Dee or somebody will smart off and it's over. See? Yep. That's what it is. And she learned that well from her mother. Okay. How will this be? Mary asked the angel, since I am a virgin. The angel answered, the Holy Spirit, not just some spirit out there, the one and the only Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One will be, Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God, the one and only. Okay, that's the whole purpose of incarnation. Is because Jesus then is saying, I'm coming. You know, we get confused sometimes. Folks, there's only one God. Now, we worship God with the three persons of the triune. Why do we do that? We do that because you and I cannot relate. We cannot relate to God. You know, we can say, I love God. Thank you, Father, for saving me. Lord, I know you're there. But now, you're talking about the Creator, the God. There's none other. the creator of all that exists and the creator of things that don't exist yet. That's God. So, you and I then could not even come in His presence and live, remember? To come in the presence of God, you will die. So Jesus comes down, God with skin and bone, so that we can come in His presence. And then so we get, Jesus is down, we are in His presence, and what happens? They want to kill the baby, Jesus. Let's do something with it quick. Let's stop this birth. Well, if they didn't believe that the birth of the Messiah was truly coming and is real, why would they have focused on stopping Him? It's not as though they were caught off guard that they didn't know that He was coming. We're talking about the religious leaders who had studied and knew the prophets. They knew He was coming. Why were they so upset? He was not coming. They wanted Him to come. They wanted to be the one that said, "This is He. We will announce the presence of God with us. And the one we tell you will be Him." And God, it's sort of like Pharaoh tried to do with God. Let my people go. I won't let my people go. Moses said, I won't let my people go. And finally, Pharaoh says, let the people go. And God says, no. And then you see, as I remind you again, and God hardened Pharaoh's heart. He hardened his heart because Pharaoh was getting ready to proclaim, I let the people go. I am Pharaoh. And can't you picture that? He had his chance. I will take my people. Moses. So remember, when Moses gets ready to lead them out of bondage, what do they start doing? Stoning him. They tried to kill him. They tried to do it. And I'm not talking about, folks, I'm not talking about the Egyptians. I'm talking about the Hebrew slaves. They didn't want him to mess with them not having to do anything. Okay, I'll make brick for Pharaoh rather than serve the Lord with being able to make a choice. That's difficult when you have freedom. Freedom is when we are free to choose. And then every one of us again on Sunday, where you want to eat? I don't know where you want to eat. It don't matter to me. Okay, let's stop by White Castle. I am not eating that nasty stuff. Not at all. I'm not doing it. So much for making up our minds, even about those things. Okay, how human was Jesus? The pre-incarnate Christ had one nature, divine. Remember? The incarnate Christ had two natures. He is the one and only that has two natures. He has the fully divine and fully human. Well, I just can't wrap my mind around that. Well, good, because if you said you could, I'd worry about you. No, you can't wrap your mind around it. But I believe. See, my focus in our relationship as Christians with the Father is based on trust. And not Him trusting us. Us trusting Him. It's called faith. It's called mercy. It's called grace. And God says, I love you. You and I can't even figure out why anybody loves us half the time. But God says, I love you. There has never been anyone created that God didn't love. Just think, you and I don't know, because we don't know the background of Satan, the angels getting kicked out of heaven and all of this, but I guarantee you, God loved them to begin with. Yeah, yeah. Isn't it great to know that we serve a God who loves us even with all the faults that we have. You see, the faults that we see in ourselves, and maybe others will see in us, those faults can be turned to badges of honor in heaven. Because God created us, and He gave us that free choice, and He gave us the personality. What you've got in personality, that's a gift. I don't care if you're a grouch or you sit around laughing all the time. Everybody thinks you're nuts for doing it. It's still a gift from God. So therefore, God then, when we say yes to Him, then God focuses on the gifts He has given us. And then, through His power, the gifts that He gives each one of us becomes so powerful. These two natures are forever inseparable. Forever inseparable. Again, there's that forever. And it's just such a long time that it'll take me forever to explain it, if I knew how to explain it. Forever inseparable. His bodily resurrection demonstrated this inseparability. Okay, you saw 100% human, you saw 100% divine, right? We see this. As the 100% human Jesus is taken to the tomb, the glorified Jesus, the total divine nature of Jesus becomes molded in to that glorified body. Now, it's just exciting because He said, you're going to have a body just like me. You know, I mentioned that this morning. You think about it. So how do I know He's Jesus? You know anybody else that has been raised from the dead? Now, He's the first of the resurrection. Explaining that again. He is the first one that ever was resurrected and didn't die again. So before you start going back, oh no, I remember the last, the other people were, Lazarus was raised from the tomb. Now, yeah, but he died again. And I guarantee when we all get to glory and talking and enjoying each other, and I can picture now Lazarus saying, I could not believe I had to come back. But I did. I came back. You know, Scripture lets us know there's not anyone that would truly want to come back once they're gone. And Scripture also lets us know, in even the same story, that we need to understand that the people who are in hell do not want anyone else to come. Now, how bad would that have to be? That they don't want anyone else to be there. And you all did catch that this morning, that the resurrection, the second resurrection, deals with the human body, or the second death. It is not a glorified body. They will deal with humanity, their human existence forever. That alone would be frightening, wouldn't it? Just to put you alone. But remember, the all of what does go on in hell that we learn from Scripture, how bad it is. You and I could handle any of that as long as we knew there was hope in Jesus. But in hell, there is no hope. That's where God has withdrawn His hands. Oh, and by the way, Randy, I got corrected one time for making that same statement. I got corrected by our message system you misunderstood, preacher. God is also in charge of hell. Well, hell was a place God created for the angels and their demons. Hell was not created for man. It wasn't created for the human race. And as I said this morning, you got to work hard to go to hell. With all the love and all the blessing that God gives, you got to work hard to it. But we weren't supposed to be there. So we still have that choice. I remember who he was. I hope he's listening again, and he'll give me another message. I like those messages. John 20, verses 27 through 29. Then he said to Thomas, remember he goes in. This was the time, you know, that, remember he appears through the door. I told you all, I just think that's cool. Here he is, Jesus appears, standing there, looking at Thomas. Now, you know, just like Mary, you talk about a jaw dropper. Me? You know, can you picture that with this young girl, knowing that she is going to carry the Son of God? Now, Thomas, doubting Thomas, I won't believe it that he's resurrected until I see his hands and I see the hole in his side. Jesus, standing right beside him. Come here, Thomas. Well, that's my. He said to Thomas, put your finger here. See my hands? Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe. That's where we got doubting Thomas. Thomas said to him, my Lord and my God. Now, the next verse is so important for you to hold on to. Thomas said, my Lord and my God. And Jesus then Jesus told him, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed, or the word blessed here would be how much more blessed. Let's do it that way. How much more blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed? That's us. That is the church age. That's us. And he said, how much more blessed are they going to be? And so often we walk around like we don't have one blessing in our life. Why? Because we're looking at all the negatives. See, Jesus came to take care of the negatives. He even came to take care of our negative thoughts. We just won't submit to it. Well, I happen to just enjoy being negative. That's part of me. I'm going to be negative. And especially, preacher, I don't like you, and I'm negative with it. And you know, you think of that, and you look at it, and we, again, have to work to push away from God's blessings. It's a chore, but yet we will do it. Wonder why. Many other religions say that men and women can become a god. You got that? Jesus Christ, God incarnate, humbly entered history to become a man. But this poses another question about Jesus' humanity. Now, we're going to deal with the purposes of his incarnation process. And I could only do three of them, because we'd be here all night. Okay, three. Jesus came, or incarnate God, came to redeem mankind. To redeem, focusing on to buy, to pay for. So, because of sin, man, the human race, again, could never come in the presence of God because we would die. So sin had a hold on us. We were slaves to sin. And Jesus comes to redeem us, or to pay the price, to buy us with his blood and with the pain that you and I would suffer. He suffered for us. So he comes to redeem mankind. Galatians 4, verses 4 through 7. But when the time had fully come. Now, listen to the these again. God is not going to pay any attention to the times we set for ourselves. He's not going to pay attention to that. He is not going to pay any attention when we say, Lord, now, I want you to show up tomorrow to talk to me. Oh, let's do about 3 o'clock, because I won't be busy then. Wrong God. Wrong God. But when the time had fully come, God, see, he, everything is planned. God knows. And at that time, remember I told you this morning, you can die prior to your appointed time, but you can't die or you can't live past your appointed time. Now, remember, there would be no reason for us to pray for each other if it wasn't that way, right? Well, it's his time to die. He's gone. Please don't pray for him. Why don't you want to pray for him? Didn't like him anyway. I think he ought to be gone. It's his time and he's gone. Okay. But when the time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under law, to redeem those under law, that we might receive the full rights of sons. Because you are sons, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. Abba, remember, is Daddy. It's what we would translate today. You remember the cry on the cross. You know, when he's crying out, Abba was used then. Daddy, Daddy, why have you forsaken me? Now, any of us hear that cry, think of what it took for God to hold back his hand. You and I, then, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. So, you are no longer a slave, but a son. Meaning, sin no longer has power over me. I no longer am a slave to the world or to sin, but I have become a son, a brother with Christ. And since you are a son, God has made you also an heir. Now, everybody loves to be an heir, especially if they have a rich uncle. And they're nice to him all the days he's alive, whether they like him or not, because they want to be an heir. Jesus knew that we would be able to inherit the eternal life as an heir, a gift he's giving to us, and the greatest gift that could ever be given, himself. And not only that, I, Father, will take full punishment for Larry. And then he names us. I take their guilt. The sin, I will hang here and become sin on their behalf. Oh. Number two, he came to feel and conquer human temptations. Well, Lord, if you'd been human, you know, I have to feel this as a human being. That's why I mess up. Well, the Lord came to feel what you and I will feel from the temptation part. Notice again, everything that Jesus came to do was to be done for us and the glory of the Father, his Father. So therefore, he had to take the guilt of our temptation. He took our guilt of temptation on the cross, meaning us falling into it. But he also destroyed it. Listen to Hebrews 4:15-16. For we, Christians, do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses. You can't say that to the Lord. Lord, you didn't feel like I feel. But we have one who has been tempted in every way just as we are. Woo, think of that one. See, it's hard for, you mean Jesus? actually was tempted in all those areas that we see temptation? Yes. He had to be. He had to feel a human's pain and the pain and agony of existence, temptation and all, but let's multiply that. He had to feel the temptations and all that we have individually, meaning what may tempt you won't tempt me. You girls enjoy cigars? Most of you don't. Yeah. Okay. So you're not going to be tempted. I never touch one of those things. You won't touch it because you don't like them. But if you ever would, I mean, I'm good. One who had been tempted in every way just as we are, yet was without sin, meaning he was conquering it. He wasn't just conquering it for himself. The whole purpose was to conquer everything for us. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence. Jesus wants us to have confidence. He wants us to approach the throne of God the Father with confidence. He is our confidence. His Spirit is living in us as Christians, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. And you know, every need I have, I need grace and have grace. You know, God knows exactly what we need, and He knows everything that's coming our way. And Jesus said, Lord, Father, Abba, I will take all of that and names us. Oh, man, can you imagine the sins? Can you imagine the weight of the cross? Oh, okay, I've heard this said, so let's show this too. I've heard people say, you know, I was really shaky there because Jesus on the way to Golgotha, the weight of the cross was so great that he fell. Look at it this way as the lesson. Jesus was showing all there and all that would ever exist that in the human physical body you cannot handle the weight of your own cross, much less the weight of the world. The weight of the world focusing on everyone who has ever existed, who or ever will. Humanly, he showed us you can't handle it. And what else did he show us? You're going to need help from one another. Right? Help with the cross. Okay. So it is Jesus, our divine God in the flesh, is everything he's doing is for our benefit. You know, you got to remember a little bit about how difficult this was for him from a human standpoint, because he asked the Father, if there's another way, I'd love to take it. Remember? And then the agony starts to where, you know, he's sweating, there's great drops of blood. Now, that agony also teaches us it's by the blood. Every drop that Jesus would sweat would be noted by God the Father. Our names on those drops, folks. Okay. And number three, the final one, purpose of his incarnation, to destroy the power of the devil. Since the children, Hebrews 2, 14 through 18, since the children have flesh and blood, he too shared in their humanity so that by his death he might destroy him who holds the power of death. Who is it? That is the devil. and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by the fear of death. See, when you conquer through Christ your fear of dying, what else are they going to threaten you with? For surely it is not angels he helps, but Abraham's descendants. You got to remember during this time also the apostles and the Lord himself, he was having trouble with people worshiping angels. We still have that today, where people worship angels. I mean, it's still, you know, you'll hear them talk more about angels than Christ. Okay. For this reason, he had to be made like his brothers in every way, in order that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in service to God, and that he might make atonement. Remember, he's atoning for our sins, for the sins of the people, because he himself suffered when he was tempted. Okay, let me back up on verse 18. Because he himself suffered when he was tempted. He suffered through the temptation. It's not as though, well, you know, everybody know he's a son of God. We know that. Well, you know, temptation for him, he's not going to suffer it because he came from heaven. He knows what's going on. He himself suffered when he was tempted. Because of that, he is able to help those who are being tempted. The greatest temptation we have today, certainly one of the top temptations of today, is to move away from the gospel of Jesus Christ. The temptations of preachers, of focusing on, you want to know how to get more people, instead of learning about how do you win the lost, how to get more souls for Jesus, how to be the servant God's called us to be in the location where God has called us and with the people to whom he's called us. Everybody doesn't do it the same way. Preach, teach. That's because each of us are individual Christians. But there's only one Christ. And there is only one resurrection in Christ. And Jesus happens to be the first of the resurrection. And the only 100% human and 100% man. And I'm so thankful that I get to be a part of his army.